This is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and willing to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means, "God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne him a son, and he named him Jesus.
I want you all to know that for the past couple of years, I've been strongly expressing the opinion that, if possible, a woman should preach the Magnificat. So, of course, here I am today, assigned to preach about Joseph. Fresh proof that both our rector and God have a sense of humor. Joseph. What do we know about him? He was a carpenter. He descended from King David. He was Mr. Mary. We know from reading ahead in other Gospels that Joseph took Jesus as a baby to the temple to be presented according to the law. And we also know that Joseph went to Jerusalem every year with his family to celebrate Passover. We can be pretty confident that he tithed his earnings, kept the Sabbath, honored his parents, and didn't covet his neighbor's anything. Joseph lived according to the law. Now, Mary is pregnant. And Joseph knows that he did not have a thing to do with it. I wonder how that conversation went. So Joseph's got a choice to make. Under the law, he can hand Mary over to be punished, to be stoned. However, quickly that seems to have escalated. That was the law. We know from the reading this morning that Joseph was a righteous man. He was good. He was decent. I'm going to guess Joseph spent a considerable amount of time wrestling with the situation. He did not rush to judgment. He didn't make a snap decision based on any feelings of betrayal he surely must have felt. He took a deep breath. He prayed. Then Joseph went with option B under the law. He resolved to divorce her. And because Joseph was kind, he was going to do it quietly. And then. Last Sunday, we prayed in the collect, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us." I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that's not what Joseph prayed for. But that's what Joseph got. An angel of the Lord that stirred up Joseph's carefully resolved plan. So Joseph had another choice to make. To say, "No thanks." And continue on with his prayerfully chosen plan. Or to say, "Yes, Lord." Yes. To whispered gossip. Yes, to being tried in the court of public opinion. yes to being seen as someone who broke the law. And Joseph chose to say yes to God. Julia Gatta, in her book, Life in Christ, says, like a double helix, divine action and human response are inseparably intertwined. Without an historic trail of responses of yes, Lord, we wouldn't be here, in this place, in this moment. God did not coerce Abraham or Jacob or Ruth or David or Mary or Joseph. God waited. They each, in their own way, said yes to God. They said yes to allowing God into their thoughts, their hearts, their lives. They said, yes, Lord, help me choose what is right. And with their choices, with all their yeses, love burst into the world. As we wrap up this season of waiting for God, we should know that God is waiting for us too, waiting to help us choose what is right, waiting for us to say yes to love in everything we do. Mary and Joseph said yes to love. We can too. Say yes. Choose love.